Hey, Jeff here. If you like the podcast, you might dig this. Dan Hodgins is going to join Lisa Murphy and I for 3 gigs in 2018. We're going to be in Portland, Oregon, Indianapolis, Indiana, and Madison, Wisconsin. We're calling it the Talking Play Tour because that's what we're going to be doing, talk and play. You can learn more at playvolutionhq.com/events. Hope to see you there.
Welcome to the Child Care Bar and Grill Podcast. Jeff Johnson coming to you live from the upstairs studio adjacent deck area. The lower deck. We got a lot of deck situations going on here. Well, there's a lot of. There's a lot of deck situations.
I was thinking it a different way.
There's a lot of deck situations going on here at the Palatial Johnson Estates, where we house upstairs studios and other shit. What's the topic for today, Lisa Murphy? By the way, Lisa Murphy's here. Tasha Johnson's here.
Hello.
Aloha. Thank you for recognizing us.
What's the topic? What's going on?
The topic is questions parents should ask when considering a program. And this was one of our... online solicitations.
Somebody on,
I believe, your Facebook page posted this.
So somebody, a parent's looking to enroll their child in a program or an after-school program or an elementary program or a forest school or whatever kind of parent program that parent is seeking. What kind of tips can we offer up for helping them find a program they're going to be happy with? So where do we start digging into this one?
Well, I mean, I've not ever been in that situation. I mean, I've always been on the other end of that, of, you know, getting the questions that parents have asked.
And we've never been in that situation either because our kids kind of grew up in our program. So this has been a Child Care Bar and Grill podcast. Thanks for listening.
Just kidding.
All right, so let's role play it. You're bringing your kid to my program and you're coming to interview us. We'll see what kind of questions Lisa comes up with.
Okay. Hi.
Hey, welcome to Glenn's Child Care Emporium. That's like how we spell childs with a K
and a Z.
I'm Glenn, proprietor.
Hi, Glenn.
Here to give you a tour, ask any questions you have. What can I do you for?
I'm stepping out of character for a minute. I'm going to ask the questions that I would like to think that people ask.
Okay.
Not what I'm sure that they really do.
We'll role play those ones in a bit.
Okay. Well, I'm wondering what the philosophy of your program is. I mean, I've been touring a lot of places, and some of them are saying that they're Montessori, and some of them are saying...
Oh, the Montessori barn? Did you go to them? They're down the street?
I did. I took a tour of the Montessori barn.
Yeah. They got some...
And Waldorf World.
Yeah, they got some... Waldorf... is that Wally's Waldorf World?
I-90.
I-10. Yeah,
yes,
okay,
I-10,
yeah.
I-10, sure.
Yeah, that's a good place. What's our philosophy? Well, you know, we've got... We got 19 teachers working here, and they kind of do their own thing, you know. So you like a cohesive like philosophy?
Well, yeah, because I'm kind of wondering what is the belief system that my child would be exposed to while they're here, or what kind of activities would they be doing?
What did Wally tell you?
So it sounds like you're not really sure.
Well, you know, we just try to send them home with bellies full and heads reeling with all the fun stuff they did during the day.
Well,
can you
give me an example of some of the fun stuff?
Maybe covered in fun stuff. Well, we pretty much we take them out back to the play-a-palooza patio. And pretty much, you know, because out here, we, you know, we're outside like 75% of the time.
Well, and
we pretty much go out and I say, hey, guys, go play. And then they go out there and they have themselves a rip-roaring time. And
I guess I'm not necessarily against that, but I'm having a hard time picturing what my child's day would look like. Maybe you could walk me through, like, if we showed up, like, what time do you open?
We open at 4:30 a.m. We got people that, you know, yeah, I know that's pretty early, but we got the plant down the street. People got to get to work, and so we open early. Some of the kids, they come back, and obviously that early, they fall right back to sleep.
Sure.
But some start their day right away, and they kind of head to whatever they're interested in. Some head to the easels, and some head out to the play patio, and some are, like, all up in the grill of the blocks.
Okay.
The blocks don't have grills, but
right.
We do have some grills over there, like the barbecue grill things, because they build with them.
And do you provide any meals here?
Meals? Oh yeah, there's food all over the place. No, but not like
there's
rat infested, that kind of thing. But no, we do breakfast in the morning. We have a morning snack. It's kind of a free range thing, though. We don't have any formal sit down meal times. Everybody just kind of eats, and so cook is always rotating. We call her Cookie sometimes. Her name is actually Cookie. She used to be a dancer in Vegas.
Okay.
No, I mean not exotic. I mean like shows, you know, with But anyway, I digress. We get in there and, you know, she cooks homemade stuff, and we always got new stuff rotating in and out. We send a menu out all weekly. But
so would it be okay if I kind of hung out in one of the classrooms?
Oh, ma'am, you can show up in any day you want and hang out for as long as you want. You can bring the youngins along, or you can come by yourself and observe for a day or a week if you want to. We got nothing but love for people coming in and checking out the place.
And what are your closing hours? When do you close?
We close at 7:14.
7:14 in the afternoon.
Yeah,
in the evening.
Yeah, it's we got to close the alarm system. We're trying to get this fixed. The alarm system automatically goes on at 7:15. So we got to all be out by 7:15. So 7:14 is official closing time. If you're running late, because I know if you're working at the plant or something, sometimes a shift change takes a little bit longer. We'll totally hang out with the kids until you get here if you give us a text message or something. But
and is there a late fee if that ever happens?
You know, if it becomes a habit, we might have to talk about that. But our staff, they're pretty chill. And
what are the qualifications to work here?
To work here? Well, you gotta. I can't. This might come across wrong. I don't know you very well, but the number one qualification is don't be a dick.
Oh.
And I know that seems kind of blunt, but there's a lot of programs around, and people are staff get on each other, and there's a lot of mean girl and bully stuff going on in some programs, and so what we try to do is we try to first hire people that are good with people and can behave appropriately and interact appropriately with other people, and then we grow from there. You know, we got some people working here that have their PhDs in early learning, and we got some people who've never set foot in a college classroom, and I would challenge you to find the difference between them, because we work a lot on professional development here and kind of figure out what people need to know to make them do this job better. But mostly what we focus on is good, decent people.
So
because we figure that's what you want your kids around, is good, decent people.
I'm wondering, because my friends and some of the playgroups told me to be sure to ask if you were licensed.
Oh, yeah. Excuse me. Yeah, we're licensed. You know, we pretty much have no choice to be licensed, and we're happy to do that. But I got to tell you, there's a lot of programs that are licensed or even accredited that are pretty shitty programs. So your parents, they might want to ask better questions, because being licensed is pretty much the lowest rung on the expectations bar that you could have. So.
And with that, though, are there requirements from the licensing agency as to who works here? So
I can get you a PDF with all that information on, if you want those specifics.
Okay. And I'm wondering if you have openings for an infant and also a preschool age child.
Ooh, preschooler, we can fit in about 6 weeks. And
six
infant,
weeks.
How old is the infant?
6 weeks old.
6 week old infant. You're looking at probably about a 6 to 12 month waiting list for our infant program.
Are you kidding me?
No, we got mommies and daddies calling us like mid conception to get on the list.
Wow.
Yeah, those are weird phone calls.
How long have you been in business?
43 years.
Wow.
Yeah, my papa Glenn Sr. started the program, and he recently retired. And so I kind of took it over.
It sounds like you let the kids play a lot.
Oh, well, yeah. What else would they be? They're kids. What else would they be doing?
It's a little different than some of the other places I've been touring.
Oh, yeah. I know the places you've been touring. They seem a little bit, I don't know, rigid and uptight about some stuff, don't they?
Yeah, and you seem a little loosey-goosey about some stuff, but I...
Yeah, I come across that way probably. But no, seriously, if you need...
Do you have children?
Do I have children? Yeah, I got three children I made myself, and we've got four little ones that we've adopted along the way.
And did they come to this program?
Oh, yeah. The youngest one, Glenn the Third, is in the program right now. Oh, look at him. He's over there with the bow and arrow. Yeah.
And what's your what do you charge?
Well, I can get you here's the PDF with the rate information, and you know, we depending on the age and what you're looking for, there's some variables there. But
so it sounds like I would have to put my name on a waiting list right now.
Yeah, unless Glenn little Glenn isn't careful with that bow and arrow. I mean, that's a joke. he's a very good shot. No, yeah, we stay pretty full, but you know, I can get you on the list. We do charge a small fee to maintain on the waiting list annually, just because we want people only on the list that want to be there, because that makes us, it gets us through the list a little bit quicker. Would you like a cookie?
Sure.
Cook just made. Hey, Cook, bring those cookies over here. Here, it's a peanut butter. She did the little fork, the thing with the fork to make the lines
it.
My grandma, Cook didn't do that when she started, but my grandma used to do that, so I asked her and she started
doing
that for
me. I'm surprised that you have peanut butter cookies nowadays.
Why?
Because it seems like a lot of the places have, like, no peanuts and, you know, all these allergies and...
Have you ever tasted a peanut butter cookie?
I have.
They're delicious, right? Yeah, well, you know what we do? We encourage parents to pay attention to science, and there's a lot of kids that parents are creating a lot of allergies, and the other thing is there's a lot of because we live in a world where people kind of like to escalate things, and so somebody will say, like, I'm allergic to Jell-O, and they're not like allergic to Jell-O, they just don't like Jell-O, but they want it to be all fancy, so they say they're allergic to it, and so
you're saying there might be some overreaction.
Yeah, and our policy is we are a peanut and peanut butter friendly program, and if that's not cool with you or you know your situation, there's other programs.
Right. And it sounds like I would have to wait to get on here anyway, so I'm sure if there were any allergies that my children had, we'd have some
programs, we keep an eye on that kind of stuff. But what the latest research is actually saying is exposure is the best preventative, because it helps kids build up their immune system. And so we know, I mean, you know pretty early in their life if that's really going to be an issue or if it's just something to talk about in mommy group.
I see.
Daddy group.
Well, thank you for your time. I will continue my touring and get back to you. Thanks for all this information.
You need some milk to go with that cookie?
No, I'm all good.
Okay,
thank
you want to try the bow and arrow?
No, sure.
Hey, little Glenn, go put up a target for the lady. All right, here you go. And scene. That may have been the...
Wow, that was a scene.
That was 10 plus minutes of whatever that was.
It wasn't where I thought it was going to go, so well done, I must say. Glenn, I thought, was going to be a little hippy-dippy or something, but I was like, oh, hey, I'm intrigued now. The more he talks, it's like, hey.
So I guess the takeaway is like, have a conversation.
Yeah, I would think so too. Because I mean, even just, you know, in that brief scene, I was trying to figure out like where I should go with this. You know, am I going to go along with it? Am I going to be the, what is your immunization policy? You know,
I was waiting for you to ask about ratios.
You have your, you went online and found what questions to ask.
Yeah, I'm sure you could Google.
Oh, there is. Oh, yeah, you can. You can what questions? Checklist. It's like, but is it relevant to what you're interested for your child?
Well, even just as Lisa, when you start, like just as my own personal self, mm-hmm. the way you started, I was like, I'm out of here.
Yeah, I'm going,
But then even as Lisa Murphy, but then the more you talked, it was like, okay, there might be something here, mm-hmm. you know, of value that I would want for my kid, but it might look so very different than the other things you've been seeing. I almost wonder too, and this is an honest question because I've never had to do this, if as a parent looking for a childcare program, if you almost get some kind of a bias based on the one you look at first. Like if you bring no knowledge about this process to the table at all. Mm-hmm.
I would contend you even start out with a bias by searching you do online, because we're living in a world where there are programs out there that think they need to look like the early learning catalog.
Yeah.
And so many even on Pinterest and other places, people are posting these perfect looking pictures of programs where everything is nice and neat and orderly and tidy, and I think a lot of people can start out with that bias.
And so this is what it should look like.
Yeah, and so maybe one of the tips is
when nobody's there.
Yeah.
What it looks
yeah,
like.
For when the lights are turned out overnight. You know, after
7:16 the alarm goes off.
At Glenn's place when the alarm automatically goes on. And so, you know, maybe what we need to consider when we're interviewing programs is to, I mean, have a first impression, because there's probably some meaningful information you can take away from
but
that.
But take it with but a grain of salt.
Yeah, but don't stop there.
Yeah.
Because another part of this is I've visited some wonderfully kid-friendly programs where the people showing me around were not as sure about their presentation of the program as they may have wanted to be. And I mean, maybe it was part of it's because it's me and I mean.
Oh, that's what I was going to say. Is it because part of it is your Jeff coming in, and they're just a little nervous.
I don't.
Well,
like,
yeah, I
like
don't mean
Lisa reality check. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I just don't. I don't want. That's. I mean,
see, people get a little nervous. Maybe. Yeah. Because I mean, who you are. Sure. I get it.
Yeah.
I get it.
Yeah. Because of who are.
God. Shit, Lisa's here. Get the easel out. I know.
Yeah, and FYI, people, we totally know if that's the first time in 6 months the easel has come out, just so you know.
Yeah, so I mean, I think...
I have two things I want to say. Cool. One of them is the trust issue. I mean, I can't not let this episode go by without talking about the keys to the house and
absolutely.
The keys to the car. Mm-hmm. I mean, if you are listening as anybody who is in a position to be looking or choosing a childcare situation, it doesn't matter how old the child is, if you're looking for whatever program it might be, whether it's a childcare situation, whether it's an actual school situation, if you would not give that person the key to your house or the key to your car, but you are willing to put your child there, I give you permission to step back and think about that as well. That was always such an awesome thing that I would do, and I learned that 1,000 years ago, but that was an important part of our intake. I need, all philosophy aside, the relationships are at the foundation of the program. Mm-hmm. And if there is no trust, there is no relationship. And I realize this can be its own episode, but I have to at least say that. If you would not give this person the key to your house or the key to your car, why in the world would you leave your child there? And I lost my second thing. I didn't write it down. I thought I was going to remember.
Well, I mean...
Oh, I remember.
Yeah.
That... When I had my childcare center, and we've probably potted about this, I found out that the tours were taking like 90 minutes and 2 hours.
Yeah.
And so I followed them around one time, and they were splaining everything. Uh-huh. And so they were setting it up. The way that they were talking about the program made parents think like, there was something they should be concerned about. Mm-hmm. There was just too much explaining going on as opposed to saying, this is the 4-year-old room. Let's hang out here for a minute and you let me know if you have any questions.
Yep.
Which doesn't mean that you're not in a position to talk if the parents do ask you some questions, but they were setting it up in such a way that it was planting the seeds that perhaps something was happening here that maybe the parents should be concerned about. And so if you're over explaining your program, you could be shooting yourself in the foot.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I think the relationship thing is such a big part of it. You got to ask yourself, are these people I will have to interact with daily when I'm dropping my child off and picking my child up, are these people that I want to interact with daily?
Because if you don't, for the 10 minutes of dropping off and the 10 minutes of picking up, but you're leaving your kid there for 10 hours.
Yeah.
You know, there's a good chance that if you wouldn't want to be there, your kid's not going to want to be there.
I mean, Glenn, with his hiring practices of asking people, you know, trying to hire people that aren't dicks. But I mean, that's a big thing, though, because it is all about the relationship and about the individual. And is this a person that is going to do the best they can? I mean, there's a classroom of kids here, but are they going to do the best they can to meet the individual needs of my child? Do you get that vibe feeling? Do you observe that?
Do you observe that the people there want to be there? I think that's
yeah.
A, that's
or something else we've touched on, that they have fucks to give
exactly
about what they're doing.
Or
with
are
their,
they just
with
hanging out here yeah. because there was an opening?
Yeah, and mm-hmm. and so that's not. I mean, the spiel is that's okay, like you're talking about. But that being able to step back and observe the program and see what's going on and get your own read on it, I think is valuable and.
And I think
stuff.
Also to trust your gut too. If you walk in and get some kind of weird. You know, listen to those gut instincts. I think there's room for that.
Oh, yeah, and I think going back on more than one day, too.
At different times of the day.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah. And don't ever enroll in a program that tells you can't show up or that you have to call first.
Yeah.
That's a big red flag.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Jeff's
you need to call and make an appointment in order to come see what your child is doing.
Well, yeah, you can come and observe your child between 11:43 and 12:16.
And also, don't assume, I'm assuming right now that we have people listening who might be in this situation, just because they're licensed or accredited doesn't mean it's a, quote, amazing program. So
yeah.
don't,
quality
you know,
program.
Go a little deeper than that. And also, I'm not a fan of video cameras. And I mean, I get that that's a thing, but... Whether you believe in that or not, as philosophically, just know that just because cameras are up doesn't mean that. What am I trying to say? It just because they're willing to put a camera up in the room, you that doesn't like you can automatically be like, oh, I don't need to worry about my child
because there's a camera.
Yeah, because yeah. That's not true either.
If you pay any attention to the world, there's all kinds of stuff that goes on that's crappy stuff in front of cameras.
Yes.
Well, yeah, and I think I would, if I did see a camera, I'd ask, why do you have them here?
Yeah. And usually the response is, you know, for parents' peace of mind, safety, and security, so you can check in during the day. And I get all that. But if there is that inherent layer of trust, I don't think you should need it. But that's my view.
And
if I'm hiring people that I have to, that I feel that I have to have a camera on them to do this job, then I think that's a issue.
And so when you're visiting those programs, you're looking for engaged, active, caring staff. You're looking for children that are doing things.
Yes.
And I mean, if they are, this is
they're interested
from an infant program up into college.
Yeah.
They're doing things that they're interested in, that they're engaged and active. If you're walking into a program and you're seeing kids being talked at by adults and not active and moving and doing things,
that'd be a red flag
for me.
Sit still, be quiet, 1, 2, 3, eyes on me.
Yeah.
That might be a red flag.
Again, we talk about process versus product all the time, but if you're looking at the walls and the things on display all look exactly alike, cookie cutter things.
Yeah.
And again, that goes from an infant room up to college.
Yes.
If everybody's creating the same stuff, it might be an environment that's not a real creative environment.
And if you're in an environment like, okay, so I'm just, Arizona jumped in my head. If you are living in Arizona or any other desert community and there's pictures of ocean animals, you know,
snowflakes
on the wall because it's winter, if the things being displayed on the bulletin board don't exist where you are, that might be a red flag.
Anything else?
No, not for this topic.
I think another one might be to bring along a buddy.
Bring along a buddy.
Yeah, I mean, if
and don't believe everything you read on the mommy blogs.
Well, yeah, because there's some mean mommy stuff going on there, and there's some, I mean, there are people that, I mean, it's like everything else. There's people posting fake reviews, good and bad,
yeah.
And it's just, you know, use your own eyes.
Tell me more about the buddy. Sorry, I kind of cut you off.
I thought that, you know, just have somebody.
If you can bounce things off of, and they have another eyes to look
at things.
Maybe
somebody without children, right? So somebody who has, like how much more non-biased, right? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, and I mean, part of that is, I mean, the whole trust your gut thing, I think, is good advice, and sometimes our guts are wrong. So if you got somebody else with you whose gut you also trust, and you both get that same vibe about someplace, that's probably it just gives you another reference point, another point of reference for those things. And then I think the final one would be...
What's it smell like?
What's
it smell like?
That's a good
sanitizer,
which is another reason why I think
that's
multiple
why cookie
visits
in the peanut butter cookies. You know,
we made a pot of coffee, and my mom made muffins every morning.
Yeah.
Every morning you walked in, I said, I don't care if you end up throwing those muffins away, which you never did. But you know, I'm like, I want it to smell good when you walk in the door.
Mm-hmm.
Now that being said, reality check in our line of work, especially if it's younger children, there's going to be days that
somebody's going to smell like
a bag
of poop.
Yes, and that's part of it. But if you say you make three random visits before making a choice and it smells like that
every
time you walk in, that's some good information. Yeah. But that's another reason why more than one visit is good advice.
Yeah.
Well, do you mention it to the people then that, you know, this is my third time coming back and it still smells like poop? Do you take the step and be brave?
If I've already decided that I'm probably not going to go there, I don't know. Well, I like to think they'd say something to my face and not just write something on a blog.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
We won't be in Rolling Glen Jr. here because your building smells like
excrement.
It smells strongly.
Did you realize
of poo.
It smells? Not, it's not a good smell.
I don't know. I like to think that I would like talking to you right now as Lisa Murphy. You know, I like to think that I would say something, but I also know to what end. You know, I've already decided I'm not going to go there, they're not going to. They don't care what I. Maybe they don't care.
Yeah, yeah.
Now, if I was already enrolled. And all of a sudden,
it started smelling like that.
Like, hey, every time I walk in, it smells like somebody took a dump here.
I know it's been winter, and we haven't been able to open the windows and stuff. But
but that's the conversation and relationships,
exactly,
and the trust that has to be there before you even enroll anywhere in the first place.
There
so,
you go.
Although the conversation might be tricky, you've already made the commitment to being there. Why would you not say something?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think another good one is word of mouth, because you can weed out a lot of programs you don't even want to go ask questions at. By word of mouth from family and friends and peers that you trust. Because,
there you
go. You know, the programs, good programs have good word of mouth. It's just the way it is. So that might be another one. Any others to throw out there before we wrap this one up?
Of course, I'll think of 10 as soon as you push
stop.
Yeah,
then,
but that's
then,
just
then
how
we'll
it
do
goes.
Another episode.
There you go.
So thanks for listening. Thanks for tuning in. Be back in a couple days with another episode. If you want to support the show, go to playvolutionhq.com/support. If you want to check out the gigs Lisa and I and Dan are doing, go to playvolutionhq.com/events. And if you want to just hang out online, go to playvolutionhq. You can find Lisa at Ooey Gooey Inc. and me at Explorations Early Learning and other places on the web, and we're both on the Facebook. And hey, get out there and play. Thanks for listening. Bye bye.
Bye bye.
Bye bye.
Dare Studio Production. This has been an Explorations Early Learning Upstairs Studio production.
Hello,
are doing it. It really supports the shows, and we really appreciate it. Give it a try. Thanks. Hey, we need your support to keep the podcasts flowing. Go to explorationsearlylearning.com/support to learn how. One of the big things you can do is shop Amazon with the link we provide. You buy your cat food, you buy your kids' books, you buy whatever it is you buy on Amazon, you pay the regular price. We get a small percentage of it. Everybody wins. A lot of people are doing it. It really supports the shows, and we really appreciate it. Give it a try. Thanks.